The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Ausperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Will Chamberlain, Senior Counsel at the Article 3 Project and Internet Accountability Project, and you can follow him on X at Will Chamberlain. Will, it's great to have you back on the show, my friend. How are things?
Great. Good to be with you, Rich.
The president made some pretty bold statements today in the Oval Office when he was with President Bongbong. And, I mean, he said Barack Obama is the ringleader and Hillary Clinton was right there. And he went on to say that President Obama rigged the election and basically led a coup against him. So let's start with this idea, first of all, of these accusations that I think by now we're all familiar with that Tulsi Gabbard laid out. Would they rise to that level of treason or a coup or anything else like that?
I mean, in a common sense, sure. Would they actually meet the technical level of treason required to prove the crime in a court of law? No, but they amount to a conspiracy against rights. What Tulsi Gabbard established with her release of documents was that Obama and most of the top, the top people in his administration, the leaders of his intelligence community, came up with, fabricated an intelligence report that was directly contrary to the one generated by their own intelligence community a few months before the election. You know, the intelligence community had said repeatedly, Russia is not doing any sort of cyber hack into the election. And the report generated after that, at the direction of people like Obama and Brennan and Clapper, said the exact opposite. And the goal of that was to bring in the Steele dossier and to ship that off the DOJ and to create the possibility of subverting and undermining the incoming administration and potentially even leading to Trump being in prison. That's a classic conspiracy against rights, using corrupt means to try and deprive someone else of their liberty. That's a crime, even if it's not treason under our law. It's still a serious federal crime.
Is there a statute of limitations on it?
There is a statute of limitations. I believe it's 5 years, for most. But the thing about a conspiracy is that that statute of limitations starts tolling with the very last act of the conspiracy. So if that continued on with anybody in the group doing anything, facilitating that going forward, that might not even have stopped tolling.
What would you recommend that they do now? I mean, is this now a matter for Congress? Is this a matter for the DOJ? Is it a matter for both?
Both. I think there should be a congressional investigation into what was done, because that obviously reflects on a legislative priority for this Congress. What should be done to the intelligence community to prevent this from happening again? So there's a legitimate legislative purpose to conduct an investigation with. And then there should be a simultaneous concurrent DOJ investigation into potential crimes.
Your friend and colleague Mike Davis said yesterday that the presidential immunity would not cover Barack Obama. If he did do these things, if he was involved in this, presidential immunity would not cover him because this took place essentially after he was president. Although I think a lot of this took place while he was president, but the heart of it at 2017 and going forward, he was already out of the White House then at that point. So there's no immunity for him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go against my own boss on this, but I suspect that the presidential immunity question will be a little closer than Mike suggests. I think it would be interesting if it got to that point, because you have to parse out what is an official act and what isn't, based on what the Supreme Court said. And certainly interacting with your own Department of Justice, your own intelligence community, is something the president does in their official capacity every day. So there's going to be that. And then, they still haven't. I mean, this presidential immunity decision really is just a one off. It kind of set out a framework, but it didn't really apply it in a lot of situations. So, I don't think, is this going to be core Article 2 acts that would be completely immune? Is this going to be general official acts, which would maybe be immune, maybe not? I mean, it's hard to say. So I think it'll be a closer question than my boss might have suggested. Who knows?
Understood. And we'll keep this between us so you don't have to worry about getting.
Yeah. This isn't public or anything.
Right. No, it's totally just
sorry, Mike, if this gets out in public, you're totally right. I'm wrong.
It's all fine. Good, Will. We're just going to drop that from the podcast. Don't sweat it. Now, what Tulsi Gabbard's alleging here, and she said there's more to come. Obama obviously has responded to this and said, this is ridiculous. Brennan, Clapper, Comey, I mean, all these people are denying all this. I guess the first question I have is, why didn't all this come out in the first term? when we had control of a DOJ, we had control of everything, really. Why is this taking so long now to see the light of day?
I think a big part of it, there's two dynamics. The first is that the first Trump administration was just playing defense against all this stuff. Mm-hmm. The very stuff that's the subject of this investigation. Like they were on defense with the Mueller investigation from moment one. They probably weren't trying to press this stuff because people were worried they'd get subpoenaed and brought into the Mueller investigation, which would lead to criminal charges against them. So, you know, basically the sort of Obama world, even though Trump had won the White House, the Obama world had initiative. They were taking the lead, and it was the Trump people responding to it. Now that we're 4 years on, Trump's in his second term, his control over the executive branch is much stronger. His influence over Congress is much stronger. You remember it was Republican congressmen in the first term who were hard behind the Mueller investigation, extremely skeptical of Trump, putting a lot of pressure on him. That dynamic's totally changed. Republican Congress is behind Trump now, as far as I can tell, 100%. So they have the time to take the initiative on their own. They're not really facing the same level of attack. So I think they're just in a much stronger position, and they don't feel like they have incoming coming at them from all directions.
And in case somebody's been living under a rock, Wilt Chamberlain, and basically it goes like this. They knew the Russia thing was nonsense, but they decided that they were going to make it a real thing. I mean, not real is the wrong word, but they were going to pretend that it was credible. They were going to push this out there and go with this narrative, even though the CIA and the national security people had said, you know, this is nonsense. And the guy who really was pushing this was Comey and the FBI. And then somebody said, OK, then we'll go with this and we'll push this narrative, which then, of course, led to the Mueller report and $100,000 maybe of taxpayer dollars being wasted on this and trying to drive the presidency to a halt. So that really is the issue, that there was a conclusion by the intelligence community that this is all made up. This is BS. But the FBI said, no, we disagree with that. We want to go forward on this. And they said, OK, fine. I mean, is that a fair, like, kind of a summary of how this played out?
I mean, that's part of it. I mean, it's not just the FBI. It seems pretty clear that there's some hidden discussion where the FBI made this decision, and then everybody decided to flip. And the people who did the original analysis and the intelligence community are like, what?
Yeah.
You know, all their bosses are going along with this FBI nonsense when they're the ones in the position to make these assessments. So I think it's a little more of a dramatic about face from the community, from the intelligence community, the heads of the intelligence community, rather, that was spitting in the face of the line people.
Oh, I agree. I mean, in my mind, it's like they all got together and did one of these with their hands and said, OK, ready, you know, go team, and left the room and said, we're going to move forward on this Russia stuff. But that's what the reason why right now we're talking about this again is that there was this intersection where they had said there's nothing there. And other people said, no, we want there to be something there. And they won, and they won out, and they pushed this, and the people at the top of the intelligence chain, Comey, Clapper, and other people whose names we may not have heard yet, they said, okay, fine, let's do this, so let's move the ball on this, even though their own conclusions were that this was BS. And that's where you get into this idea of a conspiracy then at that moment, because then they all went with this, and they had their marching orders at that point. And then for years, they were on television saying this. They were saying this every time somebody gave them the opportunity. They were out there driving this point that Trump was a Russian asset.
Yeah, no, that's right. And that is the essence of the conspiracy, right? They, you know, what you would assess is the agreement by all these people to push forward with a narrative and to put lies out into the public sphere that accused President Trump and his campaign of very serious crimes. And they knew it was false. They knew that the things they were saying were not true. And yet pushed forward with that anyway, to the point of getting a special counsel investigation predicated on those falsehoods launched.
And manufactured intelligence. That was a key point of what DNI Director Tulsi Gabbard said, that they wasn't just a matter of covering things up. I mean, they manufactured intelligence. They created this. And I mean, if you can prove that, then, I mean, it's case closed, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's still a question of, like, does conspiracy against rights apply in this circumstance? Obviously going after a president in this way hasn't really been dealt with. But, you know, if you just read the statute and you look at what was done, I mean, there's nothing more corrupt than the fabrication of intelligence information. I think any jury and any prosecutor would look at that and say, if we need corrupt intent or corrupt means to prove the statute or prove this crime, we have it.
Yeah, like it's one thing for Comey or Clapper to go on MSNBC and, you know, spout their lying mouths about their personal belief that they believe Trump to be a Russian asset. It's another thing for them to use their official capacity to try to convince people that he's a Russian asset, and then to use information that they had that was manufactured to then go out there and give themselves credibility when they're going on TV and saying these things.
Right.
You know, this isn't like constitutionally protected speech. I mean, I know lots of people during the first campaign who were convinced that Trump was some sort of Putin plant because they heard people like Comey and Clapper and Brennan and all these other people out there on TV saying this with the credibility of having been there in the room looking at all this information.
Right. I mean, your free speech doesn't protect you from, you know, a fraud charge, for example. Like, you can't appeal to free speech when you lie to somebody to get them to buy something. That's fraud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, free speech doesn't apply in a lot of circumstances if you are lying and then using that lie in service of either some, you know, material gain or to hurt someone else. That another good example would be defamation, right? Free speech doesn't protect you from defamation, especially. I mean, there's more protection because of certain Supreme Court rulings, but the basic idea is that, no, if you lie about someone and do real damage to their reputation, you can be held accountable for that. And there's civil and criminal ways in which that can happen in various contexts. So here it would be if you're lying about someone and using not merely lying about them, but creating a whole set of officially authorized and approved lies that you know are lies, and then using those to try and get somebody prosecuted and put them in jail. That's illegal.
At the very least, then, I guess, if you can't get it to the conspiracy that you first brought up, Will Chamberlain, and it's great to have you on the show here today. Will Chamberlain, Article 3 Project is my guest. Follow him on X at Will Chamberlain, one of the smartest minds, legal minds out there. It would certainly seem to me then that if Brennan and Clapper are out there in MSNBC all the time spouting this nonsense and they know it's false, then that's defamation and Trump could sue them civilly, I think, at the very least, right?
Yeah, he has the potential for a civil lawsuit. I mean, and also the fact that, you know, it's interesting. You actually normally have to prove actual malice, and that's usually the biggest challenge, proving that somebody knowingly lied or is knowingly spreading falsehoods. But here you actually have some evidence of that.
Yeah.
Thanks to the DNI and the uncover of all these emails that are now being put forward. I mean, you could say we know based on all this evidence we have, you were told what the actual truth of the matter was, and you directed your own intelligence community to publish something that you knew wasn't true. That is the definition of actual malice, knowing falsehood.
And then you went on Rachel Maddow's show 700 times and the Sunday shows and every other show that would have you, and you pushed that lie out there and you knew it was false. So, I mean, you know, I'm not an attorney, but that sounds to me like you've met the threshold there.
And that solves the statute of limitations problem, too, that we were talking about earlier. If every time you're continuing to repeat the very same falsehoods that were part of the original conspiracy to attempt to get this guy imprisoned, you know, even if it's not feasible now, that doesn't mean it's not still ultimately part of the same conspiracy. And maybe the theory, you could argue that the theory is that conspiracy against President Trump's rights is still ongoing because they're hoping to ultimately lead to a prosecution if he finally leaves the White House.
You and I have not spoken since the Supreme Court ruled on the issue of federal judges making these nationwide injunctions. I'm sure you're very happy with the Supreme Court's decision on that. Is that
great decision?
Yeah, great decision. Is that kind of case closed on that then?
Yeah, I mean, it puts a big stop and a big block on a lot of the injunctions that we've seen happening. And the big block now is, and I'm trying to get familiar with this, is can these people get class action certified? Because it doesn't eliminate the possibility of all group litigation. We've had class action litigation for quite a long time, and there are origins of that class action litigation all the way back in British common law. But there are requirements, because if you're in a class, you're going to be binding people who aren't present in court. You're going to be binding non-parties. And there's a whole set of due process rules that protect those non-parties from having their rights adjudicated in a situation where they don't have notice and they don't have an opportunity to be heard. And those protections are things like the person who's standing up to represent the class has to be similarly situated to everybody else. His claims have to be very similar. He needs to have not have unique circumstances that apply to him and not other people. Broadly speaking, the class's claims all have to be roughly the same. So you have, I mean, that's, there's a lot of different requirements, and those protections don't exist, and those requirements don't exist in the context where these judges were just issuing nationwide injunctions, ordering the executive branch to follow the law vis-a-vis everyone, not just the parties in front of them.
Do you have a 30,000 foot take on the whole Epstein matter?
Yeah, my take is the contrarian one, which says, what if we were wrong and maybe this guy was not actually doing a lot of these awful things with many people beyond Ghislaine Maxwell and maybe one or two other close associates. I think that's, there's a lot of people who suspect that this was a broad ring, but that's not obvious. And I think the other one is that I trust people like Kash Patel and Dan Mongino. We put them in there for a reason. If you had told us, a year ago that Dan Mongino was going to be deputy director of the FBI and in a position to review the Epstein files, I would have been like, that's fantastic. And we'll really get to know what the truth is as a result of that. And the other point I would have is that I think Cash and Dan made a lot of claims when they were private citizens about what would be present in the Epstein files and what could be done. And now that they're sitting in office, the fact that they're having to kind of eat crow a little bit and really step back from those earlier claims is kind of an admission against interest. If they would be a lot happier and their lives would be easier if they could go out and say, aha, look at what we found. We told you we were right and they were all lying and covering it up. They'd be in much better shape. I'm sort of the belief that, I trust Dan and Cash, and the fact that they've said there really is not a lot more material that we're going to be able to release here. And the ultimate conclusion is Epstein killed himself and we don't have good evidence of a broader blackmail scheme. I mean, I think the odds of that are actually a lot higher than I would have assessed prior to this administration taking office.
Which is fair. And I think there's a lot of people that agree with you. I guess the two questions then that kind of spring off of that would be, number one, what then do they intend to learn from Maxwell that they haven't already learned? And number two, what is the issue of Congress releasing the quote unquote Epstein files that has now led the speaker to say, come back in September?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with what the specific congressional dynamic, but I can talk about Maxwell. So, my suspicion is that there was already an attempt to discuss. I mean, I know that Todd Planch put out a statement that DOJ hadn't talked with Maxwell, but I don't know that that's true in the sense that maybe the prosecutors in the previous case did, the queen for a day thing where they go in for a proffer because they're not allowed to use that material. And really, the whole idea is that it's supposed to be kind of, a chance for the criminal defendant to just explain everything they might have on anybody else in order to negotiate some sort of plea bargain. And I'd really be surprised if that didn't happen in the Epstein case, right? That there wasn't some effort by DOJ to try and get a sense. And if there was such an effort in the prior administration or during the prior prosecution, then all that means is what she was able to provide wasn't sufficient to justify a plea agreement. And that they just were like, no, this isn't worth it. We're just going to prosecute you for the crimes you committed.
Before I let you go and I'll just say the one thing on the Epstein thing, I think it had Pam Bondi not come out and did the Binder show.
Yeah, that was silly.
Yeah, I mean,
that was silly.
Many more people would be willing to agree with the assessment of saying Cash and Dan looked at the evidence and they made their conclusion and that, the Binder show was ridiculous.
Agreed.
On the note of, and now it just escaped me, but I was going to ask you about another pending case. Oh, I know. Judge Bove, your friend who Cory Booker had a tantrum about.
Yes.
Where does that stand right now?
I think he's out of committee and he's going to face a full confirmation hearing by the full Senate soon. I'd be very surprised if we didn't get him confirmed, but it's always good to remind your senators to go ahead and make sure they know that they should be confirming Emma Bovey. He's a wonderful judge. He'll be a wonderful judge. He's a brilliant guy. And a very, very competent guy and brave in a way that we need more of on the bench. We need people who are willing to take courageous stances, and people forget it was a big career risk for people to be willing to defend President Trump in the aftermath mm-hmm. in 2023 in the midst of all these prosecutions, because people were sure he was going to go to jail. And it was clear that the, you know, the Biden administration was just no holds barred with anybody associated with Trump. So it was a very bold thing for him to do, and he did it anyway, and he prevailed on any number of claims. And I mean, there was only the one successful criminal prosecution, and that one was easily the most absurd of the bunch, the one in New York over the Stormy Daniels stuff. So he's a great lawyer. He's a courageous guy. He's done a great job at DOJ handling all the incoming coming from all the lefty lawfare, and he'll be a great judge.
And if Cory Booker's having a grandstanding tantrum, then we definitely need him confirmed, if nothing
Amen.
Else. Will Chamberlain,
Amen.
Always a pleasure to chat with you, my friend. Follow him on X at Will Chamberlain and check out the Article 3 project. Thanks so much, Will.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, as we continue along the show here today, I want to tell you about my friends at Tri-County Auto, because they've got some amazing specials for you right now. Amazing. And Employee Pricing Plus for everybody. Employee Pricing Plus. Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. You get Employee Pricing Plus. You pay what every employee pays. That's right. You get the same treatment. So that is wonderful. And they've got some incredible lease specials, too. Like, you can lease the new 2025 Jeep Wrangler Sport 4xe for only $289 a month for 24 months. Or check out a new 2025 Ram 1500 Bighorn and lease for $459 a month for 42 months. Absolutely. And if you're thinking about a Toyota, well, it's the perfect time to get inside a new Toyota at Tri-County Toyota right now. You can lease a new 2025 Tacoma four-wheel drive double cab SR5 for just $259 a month for 36 months. Or buy and get rates as low as 3.75 for 48 months. Check out the rugged new 2025 Tundra and finance for only 1.99% for 72 months. I mean, talk about low interest rates, right? We love low interest rates. That's pretty low. Or get $3,000 cash back. It's up to you. Either way, these offers won't last long, but my friends at Tri-County Auto will take great care of you. TriCountyAuto.com, that's where you want to go. Look for the gigantic American flag. Remember, they support us. They support what we do here. They're our official car sponsor for the show. TriCountyAuto.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Well, it's Brilliant Legal Mind Day today here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And there's no one more brilliant, because he's from Philly, than our own Professor John Yu, constitutional scholar and Berkeley Professor of Law, the Emanuel S. Heller Distinguished Professor at UC Berkeley. Professor Yu, thank you for joining us here on the show, and welcome to your hometown.
Oh, it's great to be back. I'm really looking forward to it.
Did you see the fanatic the other night at the game with his gumata hiding when the kiss cam went to him?
Did he really?
Yeah, it was hysterical.
That's great.
They reenacted the Coldplay thing. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
That's awesome. You know, I don't think they have any good mascots out in California. They're all just, you know, eating wine and cheese and grapes, and not really, they don't have the kind of humor that we do in Philadelphia and the East Coast in general, because life's too easy out west.
I think all your mascots, like everybody else, are moving out of California, Professor Yu.
That's right. They're moving for the lower tax rates, that's for sure.
I mean, In-N-Out Burger, they're leaving. I can't believe that. And I, for one, every time I go to the West Coast, I have to have In-N-Out Burger. I think in my opinion, they're the best.
Yeah, In-N-Out's great. You know, Texas also, I'm spending some time in Austin, Texas these days. They got some great burgers here. Whataburger and P. Terry Burger. I mean, none of them is even close to a cheesesteak. So, I mean, this is pitiful. Yeah. I mean, this is how they have to eat their beef. We let them try, but they can't come close to a Philly cheesesteak with whiz and onions. I mean, come on.
No, of course not. I mean, it's amateur hour, amateur. Speaking of amateur hour, former President Obama, just put out a statement just a few moments ago. I want to share it with you. I know you're all over Fox News giving your analysis of everything that DNI Director Tulsi Gabbard has alleged here. I'll read you the statement. Out of respect for the office of the presidency, our office does not normally dignify the constant nonsense and misinformation flowing out of this White House with a response. But these claims are outrageous enough to merit one. These bizarre allegations are ridiculous and a weak attempt at distraction. Nothing in the document issued last week undercuts the widely accepted conclusion that Russia worked to influence the 2016 presidential election, but did not successfully manipulate any votes. These findings were affirmed in a 2020 report by the bipartisan Senate Intelligence Committee, led then by Chairman Marco Rubio. Professor John Yoo, your thoughts on former President Obama's response here?
I think also everyone recognizes not just that Russia tried to interfere in the election, unsuccessfully, might add, and in a not serious way, but that the Russia hoax itself, which was concocted by the Hillary Clinton campaign and then, you know, aided by people within the intelligence community, did, I think, you know, stall President Trump's first year, year and a half in office. And so President Obama, I think, might feel some that he's been treated unjustly by Tulsi Gabbard. And I think Tulsi Gabbard might have used rhetoric that was over the top. What she did show, though, was that there should be, I think, grounds for an investigation. It's not really even what she said. I think a lot of people missed what's, to me, more important is that the director of the CIA, John Ratcliffe, just the week before referred to Obama intelligence officials, the head of the DNI and the head of the CIA under Obama, for investigation by the Justice Department. I think that's actually much more serious than what Tulsi Gabbard released.
When you say the rhetoric over the top, are you referring to the treason claim? Because that's obviously a very specific
claim. That it was treason. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, the problem with that is that exaggerates it so much that you tend to overlook exactly what is at issue. And what is at issue is she's claiming that the intelligence community initially said Russia did not succeed in changing the outcome of the 2016 election, did not succeed in changing any votes. But then after President Obama directed the intelligence community to investigate whether Russia was involved, then the intelligence community changed its assessment. Now, I'm not saying that's treasonous, but I would like to know why that happened. And that's an important, I'm not saying it's even criminal, but it's important for the American people to understand why did the intelligence community change its views. So by claiming everyone committed treason, actually Tulsi Gabbard, I think she did not do herself a good service there, because what she's actually showing may not be treason, but still important to know and could be a key part of why the CIA, right? This is the really important, the CIA itself asked the Justice Department to investigate one of its former directors. I don't think that's ever happened before in American history.
Yeah, I think people use treason sometimes as an adjective almost, and it is a very specific constitutional requirement to meet the level of treason. And I think that really is the problem that you're kind of referring to, you know, as a lawyer, as a constitutional lawyer, that if you're going to use the T word, it has a specific requirement to meet that threshold. And so while it may not be treason in the sense of that, it might be, say, in the spirit of treason, one might argue. You know what I mean? Like in the spirit of treason. You know? And don't forget to do your shopping
like
during
TV
the
show.
Season of treason. You know, I know, right?
So. You know, but then, you know, but yeah, as you say, you know, treason's actually really high standard. In fact, people probably don't know this, but it's the only crime that's defined in the Constitution,
right?
Because the founders were worried that a government in power would go after its enemies and claim they were, you know, traitors when they weren't. So you have to actually, the phrase is, you have to levy war against the country or give aid and comfort to its enemies. Now, political shenanigans, you know, trying to handicap the Trump administration when it starts out in its first few months and years. Suppose everything Tulsi Gabbard said is true. I don't think that's treason. I just think that's dirty politics, maybe even criminal at some level.
Right.
But at the very least, it should, you know, form the basis, along with the CIA referral, for some kind of investigation. Now, you know, the thing that runs against, as you said, when you were, you know, discussing the facts of this, the Senate already issued a report saying they didn't find any grounds for this. And people also forget there was this Durham report, which we used to talk about all the time, and it sort of faded into memory. But, you know, John Durham also conducted a special counsel investigation into the Russia hoax and its origins. And we learned a lot from that. But in the end, he chose not to bring charges. But I actually think it would be good if there were some kind of investigation with a lot of transparency. So, you know, we could really put this to rest and settle once and for all what happened back in 2016 and 2017. And there are other people in the government, the Justice Department's Inspector General, who thought Jim Comey should be prosecuted. He referred Comey for prosecution to the special counsel, and the special counsel chose not to. But, you know, the Justice Department doesn't do that lightly either, where it refers the head of the FBI for investigation and prosecution for lying to investigators. So I think there's still enough swirling around here that there should be some kind of public examination of everything that happened back with the Russia hoax.
Oh, no doubt about it. And Professor John Hughes with us, the Emanuel Heller Professor of Law at the University of Berkeley and Philly guy, constitutional scholar and all over Fox News. You were on Outnumbered the other day. That's cool, by the way. Great job. That's a show I'm dying to get on. And it was you surrounded by, of course, all the ladies. And you did a great job on that. That was last week when this news broke about all this. And you said, you made the point, you said, yeah, this is obviously a much bigger scandal than Epstein, because President Trump had basically said that same day. I mean, they had you on the perfect day for all this. But, you know, let's, before we move on to that idea, if Clapper and Comey and Brennan knew that Russia did not successfully affect the outcome of the 2016 election, and they knew that Donald Trump was not this Putin plant, but they were out there saying all this, yeah, it's political shenanigans. Her point about it being a coup to try to undermine his presidency, I mean, it did result in the Mueller investigation, which cost the taxpayers, you know, $60 million. It also, if these guys knew it was all BS and they're out there saying this on the news every day and they're pushing this out there, I mean, they're defaming Donald Trump. They're certainly trying to undermine his presidency in that sense. I mean, all those things that happened because these people wouldn't let go of this and pushed all that is why I think the president is so rightfully angry here. And I'm angry as a taxpayer because the entire Mueller investigation was predicated on the fact that this was real, that Russia interfered in our election. And if what Tulsi Gabbard is saying is correct, and maybe I'm incorrect in paraphrasing it this way or rephrasing it this way, but that they knew it was all BS, then that was an attempt at trying to, at the very least, weaken his presidency to the point where he could get nothing done if you don't want to use the C word, you know?
I think there's two serious things actually going on here that I think are more important than what happens to Clapper and Comey and Brennan. And, you know, one is that you had the intelligence agencies think that they should intervene in our domestic politics.
Right.
And there's always been a line ever since Watergate that said, you know, the CIA, the NSA, all these foreign intelligence agencies, we're going to give them a lot of power to stop attacks on the country and root out people trying to harm us from abroad, but don't use those powers domestically. Don't interfere with domestic politics. And I fear that's what might have happened here. You know, Comey and Brennan and the intelligence, and they're, you know, people at the FBI, at the Justice Department, they were so convinced that Donald Trump must have had some involvement with Russia that they used those vast powers of the government internally. And so that's, to me, even more important what happens to any of those individuals. And then, as you said, secondly, they thought that they could launch this investigation based on really almost no facts, based on a dossier concocted by Trump's enemies, our political opponent in the election. And so you had, I think, another disturbing thing was that these agencies, the FBI, the Justice Department, the CIA, they may have colluded with a political campaign, the Democrats, in order to harm the other major political party. That is, those two things together, I think, are a greater threat to our democracy than anything that, you know, people who are complaining about threats to democracy, you know, can justifiably be worried about these days.
Yeah, and they're always screaming, right, about, you know, this is a threat to democracy. I mean, if it was a drinking game, our livers would be shot every day by 9 a.m. if you listen to these people. And this constitutional republic of ours was founded on the premise that that we don't have our law enforcement and national. I mean, I'll put it to you this way. I'm not an attorney, but I remember in my political science 101 class learning the definition of a police state. And the definition that I was told was that if the government's law enforcement and national security agencies are involved in politics, you got yourselves a police state. That's pretty much what we had here.
Well, I think this is what we really have to be vigilant against. And I think that's, in some ways, that would, to me, be even more important than prosecuting people and throwing them in jail, would be to learn everything that happened and put it before the public so that they could, you know, we could make sure this doesn't happen again. That's the most important thing. Is to you know, in a way, you're right. Donald Trump has every reason to be angry. But he had the sweetest revenge, too, which is he got reelected after everything they tried. And all this was put before the American people, and it was rejected. It was rejected back in 2016 when Hillary Clinton tried to use it. And it was rejected again in 2024.
Yeah, I know. Maybe it's just because I'm still in Philly right now and you're in the beautiful West Coast. I want them to go to prison. I do. There's just a part of me that wants them to go to prison. I don't know why. I hate them so much. I do. I just hate them.
That's because it's like 95 degrees and humid in Philadelphia in July and you're just pissed off at everybody.
It's true. And I was in the city on Monday and I know you were just there. And did you notice how New York City stinks right now? Like, I mean, there is a smell. I can't place it, but I'm walking outside of Fox News the other day and I'm like, it just stinks, doesn't it?
And first of all, New York City always smells that way. Why do you think it's only in the summer?
Yeah.
Filled with people from New York.
Yeah. They're Giants and Jets fans and, you know, Mets fans.
So, yeah,
exactly. You're right. Well, we'll see what comes of this before I let you go. I mean, if you had a kind of a crystal ball here, or if they were to say to you, you know, Professor Yu, what should we do next? Does the DOJ, we do a criminal referral? Should the Congress investigate these claims? I mean, what should happen next?
The Justice Department already has these referrals, so I expect that they will open some kind of investigation. It's a serious thing for, the CIA to say, we think that our director may have committed crimes.
Yeah.
We think that the director of national intelligence might have committed crimes. I don't see how the Justice Department can avoid opening an investigation. And we have no idea what they're going to find. And, one thing Tulsi Gabbard's really shows is there's still new evidence out there.
Yes.
That hasn't been seen before. And so we really can't say the investigation is over. And so, that there's nothing left to find and that investigation should have been closed out. So I think at the very least, the Justice Department should be. And that's why I said, you know, this is way more important than Epstein, who's dead and who was about to be tried and thrown in jail. And, you know, that's something that's over and doesn't, to me, involve an abuse of government power. And even if it did, it's nowhere near, to me, as seriously threatening as you were talking before, the intelligence agencies intervening in domestic politics, intelligence agencies siding with one party over another. Congress could also do something as you said, there was already a Senate investigation and there was a public report issued. I don't know if Congress has the stomach to go over this again. So I think it really will be up to the Justice Department to get to the bottom of it.
I hope they do, because, Tulsi said it. She said we need accountability. And our mutual friend Miranda Devine said we need heads on pikes. And I don't mean literally heads on pike, although I would actually like to see a physical head on a pike. But that's again, because I'm still in Philly and I'm stuck here. But Professor John, you always a pleasure, my friend. Only you can help us make sense of all this stuff. So we appreciate your time.
Oh, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me back.
Well, anytime. You have an open invitation, Philly guy to Philly guy, my friend. So thank you.
All right.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
That is the big story of the day, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. With Dr. Mike, it's not about cost. It's about care and commitment to dental excellence. Schedule your appointment today to get a level of care that you deserve. Call 856-786-2020 or visit VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. Two things I want credit for, Matt DeSantis. Number one, I did not correct Wilt Chamberlain on his mispronunciation of Ghislaine Maxwell.
That's big of you.
And number two, I really toned down the amount of death I want to see for Professor John Yu's perspective. Because, you know, when I say head on a pike, I'm literally head, like, eyes bulging and then bleeding and, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm glad you waited to share that until after the respected professor left, because we don't want to scare him away permanently.
Everybody loves him, so, you know.
He's a fan favorite.
But, you know, I mean, and I also like my, it's the spirit of treason, and make sure that during the spirit of treason season, you give, you know, you take advantage of all the sales.
Have you done your shopping yet for the treason season, or do you wait till the last minute?
I'm a last minute guy. Yeah. I like people coming to our event with Gianno Caldwell. Obviously, people are last minute, but you know, now in the spirit of treason season, right now, today, you should get your tickets to come to Politics and Pints, hosted by me with our buddy Gianno Caldwell of Fox News, Thursday, July 31st, 7:30 p.m. The Zlock Performing Arts Center, Bucks County Community College, Newtown, PA. It'll be a powerful evening. Your VIP tickets will get you a signed copy of his book and a meet and greet, and also a commemorative tumbler. We also have the general admission seats on sale as well. What you want to do is go to 1210WPHT.com right now. It's going to be an incredible night. Yes, there's a bar, and that bar will be open. Not open in the sense of free, but the bar will be open, and you should join us. So Zlock Performing Arts Center, Bucks County Community College, will be a lot of fun. Get your tickets now by going to 1210WPHT.com, and we are coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
As we continue along the show here today, Tulsi Gabbard just responded a few moments ago to President Obama, former President Obama. I don't want to make Jimmy Matthews upset. Former President Barack Obama's repudiation of her allegations. So we'll talk about that. Laura Trump is filling in for Will Cain, and Tulsi was on her show today. So we'll talk about that, grabbing the audio of that for you right now. And you know, there's just a couple of things here. You know, there's obviously the legal implications of all this. There's the political implications of all this. And it's, from my perspective, I think that the political implications of nothing happening here to these people, politically speaking, because again, you know, it's great to have really smart lawyers on. I'm a political guy, not a lawyer. My political analysis is that if nothing happens here, if nothing happens and there's no accountability to these people, it will hurt us politically. The Republic is hurt by what they did to it, by what the deep state did. If we don't get accountability and put these people behind bars, if we don't hold them accountable in some way, shape, or form, politically speaking, our heads are on pikes politically, because it's a sense of and a feeling of they got away with it. They always get away with it. What the hell's the point? And there will be people that will tap out and say, I'm done. So, I mean, whether it rises to the legal definition of treason or the legal definition of a coup, is not the point. The point is holding them accountable, whether it's we do it through Congress, through the Department of Justice, we do it through civil court, whatever it is, they have to be held accountable here. Because if these allegations are true and these crimes were committed and they get away with it, I'm telling you, there's people that are going to say, don't ever ask me to vote ever again. Like, I'm done. I'm out. Because I'm sick and tired of them getting away with it. We thought Trump was going to be the guy who would put an end to this once and for all and hold these effers accountable. And if he can't do it, no one can. That's it. That's the end of it. We're done. That's how I look at it. That's how I view it. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people will turn around and go, that's fine. You know, what the heck? I just don't think so. Because I think there's so many new people that came to the table because Trump was that bull in a china shop who was going to go after these people. And then I said, you know, his next term is going to be the revenge tour and go after all these people in the deep state who did all these things. And if they're not held accountable, if they get away with it, then I think I'm not alone in saying this. The level of deep disappointment, frustration, and anger will drive people away. Not me. I'll always show up to vote, but that's because, you know, I'm a glutton for punishment. But for a lot of people that joined this movement because they believed there had to be a reckoning, if there's no reckoning, they're done. They're out. And while I'm not a constitutional scholar and while I'm not a, you know, distinguished attorney, I'm a guy who's been involved in politics since I was 10 in the rough and tumble world of Jersey politics. And I know this stuff and my gut is rarely wrong. Good luck getting that coalition together ever again. And it might even be worse than that. It might even be where they go to the other side. It could be that bad. If it looks like Republicans covered up for this, if it looks like Trump was ineffective in being able to go after these people, and if it looks like Republicans were helpful in keeping him from being effective in going after those people, we could even lose him to the other side. It's that serious. I'm not, you know me, I don't use hyperbole with this stuff. I say it because it's the truth. All right, listen, Emmons Roofing and Siding, my great friends over there, when it comes to your home, protection, peace of mind, paramount. That's why Emmons is my go-to contractor for roofing, siding, Anderson Windows, and more. They even have a kitchen and bathroom remodeling division. So you want to reach out to Emmons today for all your home improvement needs. And 10% off. 10% off inflation relief discount for you and your family. Even though inflation has come so much down thanks to President Trump, 10% off is still 10% off, right? So reach out to Emmons today and tell them I sent you. They serve our whole region. Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. How's that roof doing? Get a free roof inspection. They'll never tell you you need a new roof if you don't. But if you do, you'll have the best in the business, the Owens Corning shingle. And Anderson Windows, I mean, they're the best too. Plus the siding, you know, you'll have, your home will look stunning from the curb, and you'll have the improved protection and peace of mind that you need for your home. So please don't wait. Reach out to them today by going to emmonsroofing.com and tell them I sent you. 10% off. They remodeled the kitchen and bathroom in my old house, by the way, and Bridget was thrilled. And you know me, happy wife, happy life. So make sure you use Emmons for all your home improvement needs. EmmonsRoofing.com.